Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. It's Friday, February 15th. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Alaska's congressional delegation on Thursday introduced new Sea Alaska land selection bills. Senator Lisa Murkowski authored her chamber's version, which is co-sponsored by Senator Mark Begich. Congressman Don Young released the House version. Both would turn about 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest over to Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska. Murkowski's version includes numerous changes meant to reduce opposition from environmental groups, tourism businesses, and small communities. She says it would still complete a promise made 40 years ago by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act.
In terms of what we set out to do, which is to provide completion to Sea Alaska in terms of allowing them to select their lands that were committed, this will help finalize that selection and really, I think, work to balance the interests of all those in the region.
Both bills transfer about 68,000 acres to Sea Alaska for timber harvest and development. They remove about 26,000 controversial acres on or near northern Prince of Wales Island and replace them with other parcels. Sea Alaska General Counsel Jaylene Arujo says the new acreage is near some previously logged areas.
There was some infrastructure already in place in North Prince of Wales, so we had to find other alternatives that had proximity to infrastructure that would be helpful in timber development.
Both bills also cut the number of small parcels set aside for tourism, energy, or other economic development. They also reduce the acreage to be selected as sacred or cultural sites. Murkowski's version increases the required stream buffer zone to 100 feet to protect three salmon spawning areas. It also balances Sea Alaska's timber selections with 150,000 acres of conservation areas. Don Young spokesman Michael Anderson says that's where his version differs.
The House bill doesn't contain any conservation set-asides. Though the two bills convey the same overall acreage to Sea Alaska, the House bill includes a few more small parcels. The House bill does not include any buffer requirements beyond what is required in the Alaska Forest Practices Act.
Similar legislation has been introduced in previous Congresses. Young's version passed out of the House as part of a larger lands package last year. Murkowski's bill did not make it to the Senate floor. A 23-year-old Sitka man will spend nearly 2 years in prison after pleading guilty to a pair of assault charges. Jeffrey Betancourt was sentenced by Sitka Superior Court Judge David George on Tuesday. In addition to prison time, Betancourt was ordered to pay over $29,000 in restitution to the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. According to court records, Betancourt and his father, Christopher Betancourt, went to a Wachusett Street residence in December of 2010 to reclaim a gun that the younger Betancourt had allegedly traded for heroin. They were accompanied at the time by 25-year-old Lance Smith. In the ensuing altercation, Smith shot one of the home's occupants in the arm. Smith and the Betancourts then fled the scene and ran their vehicle over the curb in the 1100 block of Edgecombe Drive. Police later apprehended the Betancourts at their home. Lance Smith was previously sentenced to 12 years in prison for his role in the assault and also ordered to pay $29,000 in restitution. 45-year-old Christopher Betancourt's case is still pending. His wife, Tina Betancourt, was sentenced last week to serve 22 months in prison for misconduct in the third degree involving a controlled substance. A Pacific Northwest development expert says Southeast leaders are on the right track toward improving the region's economy. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfield reports from the recent 2013 Innovation Summit at Juneau Centennial Hall.
A large group of Southeast business, government, and other leaders have spent the past 2 years searching for ways to grow the region's economy. They've formed what are called clusters, each focusing on a particular industry or group of connected businesses. The four areas are ocean products, renewable energy, mining service and supply, and visitor products.
If that list were to expand, I think it would really tax the resources of both the organizations that are helping companies as well as the companies themselves.
Patrick Quinton is executive director of the Portland Development Commission. He addressed cluster initiative members at the Southeast Innovation Summit organized by the Juneau Economic Development Council. Quinton's organization used the cluster process to develop the Portland area's clean technology, outdoor recreation products, software, and advanced manufacturing industries.
This is a very long-term process. I mean, fundamentally, you're talking about changing the nature of the economy. You're talking about diversifying the economy. So those changes take a long time.
Southeast's initiative began a little more than 2 years ago. Quinton says it's made good progress so far. Those involved have engaged industry and government agencies that can help.
In a few years, you would want to see how successful are you in executing the plans that have been laid out. So if you have two or three initiatives, what kind of progress are you seeing there? And I would imagine 3 or 4 years out, you'd want to see some actual change in the job numbers and the economic output.
He says he doesn't know enough about the region to predict what will work best, but he's intrigued by the mining service and supply focus.
Import substitution is the more technical term, but how do we replace services that are being provided from distant places with more local services? And Juneau seems to be well positioned to be the more local provider of those services.
He says cluster process leaders have to make hard decisions, and it's not a democratic process. Otherwise, he says, the effort will lose focus. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
You can listen to earlier reports on the Southeast Cluster Initiative through links posted on our website at kcaw.org. You can also find out more about the work done so far. A vote on a controversial bill about cruise ship waste has been put off until next week. The legislation would strike provisions of a citizens' initiative requiring cruise ships to meet clean water standards at the point of discharge by the 2016 cruise season, instead allowing them to release their waste into mixing zones. The bill was introduced by the governor's office, and it easily passed the House last week. During a floor hearing yesterday, 5 attempts were made by Democrats to amend the bill. Some received support from coastal Republicans, but all amendments ultimately failed. The most popular of these amendments would have kept the current cruise ship regulations in place, but it would have given vessels more time to meet stricter standards. 5 Democrats were joined by Peter Michicki of Soldotna and Bert Stedman of Sitka in voting for the amendment. 10 Republicans voted against it. Senator Kathy Geisel, a Republican from Anchorage, argued against the amendment by citing a report from a state science panel that determined that incoming wastewater standards would be impossible for cruise ships to meet.
The science advisory panel, which most recently met, found that there is no more advanced technology available, nor is there any technology on the horizon coming down the track, Mr. President, to improve the wastewater discharge that is currently in place.
But Senator Hollis French, an Anchorage Democrat, had a problem with this reasoning. The report issued by the cruise ship science panel has come into question after one of its members publicly disagreed with its findings. It came under additional scrutiny this past weekend after the Anchorage Daily News found evidence that the panel's report was never supposed to be considered final.
The panel was misled, Mr. President, and that's really unfortunate that they were misled on 2 key points. One, they were told they would be able to finish their work. 2, they were told that the basis of the report would never be the basis for legislation.
The bill is scheduled to come back for a reading on the Senate floor on February 19th. Following that floor session, Majority Leader John Coghill said that the reason for delaying the vote was to give 3 absent senators the chance to vote on the bill. Democrats Lyman Hoffman, Donnie Olson, and Kodiak Republican Gary Stevens were all excused from yesterday's floor session. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has previously stated that they would like to have cruise ship permitting rules finalized by today. DEC did not respond to a request for comment on how the delayed vote would affect that timeline. A positive test for E. coli bacteria prompted local officials to issue a boil water notice in Petersburg yesterday afternoon. According to Borough Public Works Director Carl Hagerman, the results came from routine samples taken the day before from Petersburg's water supply. The borough put out a notice telling all Petersburg residents to boil their tap water for 2 minutes. That includes water for drinking, brushing teeth, and food prep. Along with informing the public, Hagerman said the borough notified the state and took new samples to retest the water. He said the fact that the original sample came up positive for bacteria didn't mean that the whole system was contaminated. He said there are many other ways a sample can be contaminated, which is why they're doing more testing on the water supply. Hagerman expected it would take about a day to get results from those new tests, so he was hopeful they would be available by this afternoon. He said the boil water notice would remain in effect until at least then. E. coli bacteria comes from human or animal waste. Some strains can cause serious illness, particularly among the very young children and the elderly. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. It's Friday, February the 15th. We have a forecast of heavy rain at times this morning and then rain showers likely in the afternoon for Sitka and Port Alexander, with the high today of around 48 degrees with some wind gusts from the south gusting 10 to 20 miles, up to 40 miles an hour today. Good morning.